Cannon Mess right here at WCCNO. And the Little Cannons are with me, Morgan Mundane, Ma Linger, Backlash LaRue. So don't you feel honored to be up here in the studio?
Well, not really. I mean, not to denigrate Howard Viking or anything, but I mean, I would appreciate if you'd give me more money. Don't sit me up in a pretty studio, give me more money.
You had a good weekend picking on your prognostications?
Well, I could brag about a few. I told everybody to sell the farm on Friday and bet Atlanta over San Francisco, despite the fact San Francisco was favored by 9.5 points. I had people around the city saying I was nuts. And what happened? 24-7 in favor of San Francisco in the fourth quarter, and Atlanta rallies to win 27-24.
So you think TV is the next thing for you? I started with television in its embryonic stages here, Morg, before I knew you.
That a fact.
1953. I was on Channel 11 when it first began. I worked for WMIN Radio, and two radio stations got one channel back in 1953, and that was Channel 11, WTCN Radio. They had their studios in the Calhoun Beach Building and the hotel there. And we had our studios in the Ham Building in downtown St. Paul. And we shared the channel. We'd have it for an afternoon, then they'd have it for a morning, etc. I can't remember exactly how it worked.
So what did you do?
I did a cowboy show, man.
I can't picture that.
No, I couldn't picture it either. But that's what I did when I started out. I was Wrangler Steve, the Scourge of the Sagebrush. Anybody else want to comment?
I saw some kinescope.
The great story behind, and this is Flashback Twin Cities with Danny Henry from the Paddock Museum of Broadcasting. That was Steve Cannon to those that, the few people who didn't recognize that voice. He told this great story when he came to town and he was offered a TV show on Channel 11. And they told him it was going to be a Steve Allen-like Tonight Show.
Like a Tonight Show.
Correct.
Kind of a thing, yep.
And he tells a story. And this is his story. We can't verify these things, but it's a good story.
Right.
Comes to town, and they give him a cowboy hat, and you're going to be Wrangler Steve.
Uh-huh.
And there you go.
That's, yeah, and the Tonight Show thing obviously never happened, and then he was pointed in the direction of radio after that. But he did the cowboy and the kids show on Channel 11 he said in 1953. Don't know how long that lasted. Not very long, I'm going to guess. But as he said, the pay was good, so he did it.
had you ever met Steve Cannon?
You know, I never did, no. But big fan. What a voice. And he also had the three characters.
Well, I'm looking at the list of the Broadcast Hall of Fame list. I saw only one fictional character on this list, and the Little Cannons.
Yeah, they're actually, the Little Cannons have their own plaque at the museum. So they are a member of the Hall of Fame. Well, and, of course, the Little Cannons are Steve Cannon's characters that he did all the voices for.
Morgan Mundane. Backlash LaRue.
Right, and Ma Linger. And he, as you can hear, he was amazing, amazing talent with a voice. And people thought those characters were real. And they would call up and say, hey, I'm booking an event. Can you have Morgan Mundane come out? And, you know, we'd like to book Morgan for the show. And he'd say, well, you know, Morgan's not really available right now, but I could come out and do it. And they would say, well, thanks anyway, you know.
Calvin Griffith saw Steve Cannon one time. This is a story. This is a secondhand story, but Cal Griffith, the infamous owner of the Twins.
Sure.
A personality of his own. And sees Steve Cannon at a Twins game and says, you know, your show's all right, but that Morgan Mundane, can you lay off the Twins?
Yeah, take it easy on the Twins. Little did he know it was all the same person doing it. And by the way, Steve Cannon did do, he started off with, he did a little bit of sports. He did Gopher and North Stars hockey as well.
He was a sports announcer at KSDP and also the KSDP AM morning guy for about 13 years.
That's
which people
correct.
Don't remember that. They remember him being on CCO, but he was...
Yeah, he's 40 plus years of broadcasting. And even before that, WLOL in the Twin Cities.
There's a good story, and I'm going to talk about Steve Cannon a little bit more here because he's an institution and unfortunately passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. His family had some tapes and they were putting these tapes, these reel-to-reel tapes, out in the trash.
Yeah, well, they were getting rid of them one way or another, yeah.
They were getting rid of them in a manner that would not have been preserved. But Tom Mischke, who was on another station, happened to find them or be in touch with them and brought them to the Pavic Museum. And our good friend Tom Gavaris has done a fantastic job of restoring these. And
that's great.
You can listen to these.
Yeah. And Tom's got his own site, radiotapes.com.
Which is a great site. And these audio clips of Steve Cannon from the 60s and early 70s, it sounds like FM radio today. I don't know. He must have recorded right from the studio, because you listen to these on radio tapes or at the Pavic. It sounds beautiful.
I'm guessing the tapes came straight from the board at the station. So they must have been his personal tapes.
And the Little Cannons are now at the Pavic, correct?
We do have the Little Cannons. The actual characters are at the museum in a display. And that's a bit of an interactive display. I encourage you to come to the Pavic Museum and see it for yourself.
I'm going
to
jump in real quick. He passed away in 2009, April. He was 81.
Right. Yep.
That's unfortunate. We were talking off air, and you recalled the instrument. I was trying to think of the name.
Yeah, the theremin. We were talking about that earlier, but couldn't think of the name. The theremin is the world's first electronic instrument that you don't actually have to touch to play. Invented in the 1920s by Leon Theremin. He was a Russian inventor. And we have an original theremin from 1929 at the museum.
Wasn't the theremin the instrument used for the original Star Trek opening?
You know, they did use it for that. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's one of the more famous uses of it.
That's the only use I can think of.
Well, and that's kind of the problem that they encountered when they came up with it. It was strange, and it was expensive, but it did work on radio waves, and that's how we're able to actually get away with having it at the museum. And you can play it if you come to the museum.
Really?
But what happened, they initially wanted it to be part of the orchestra and to be, you know, part of the band. But, like I said, it's weird and expensive. It didn't catch on. Later on, Hitchcock used it for sound effects in science fiction films. I believe Spellbound in the late 40s was the first one. And then it took off, and you might hear it in things like Star Trek, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. That's that weird instrument in there, if you've ever wondered what that is.
They even did an episode of Big Bang Theory where one of the characters started playing the theremin, and he got really good at it.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Making its way back. Yeah. Tell you what.
Yeah, it's got kind of a cult following these days.
Yeah, I was there with someone, and they knew what it was, and I did not know anything about it, and obviously the name has stuck with me so well that I couldn't think of it today. But the Hall of Fame, it's a great thing. Again, I'm looking at some of the names here. So Steve Cannon, Bud Kraling, Dave Moore, Franklin Hobbs.
Yep.
Don Stoltz of the Old Log Theater.
That's correct.
Bob Ryan.
Yep.
It's a great event. I've been a few years, and these great people in media or in broadcasting of our community, they get a video, they come up there. It's a very classy event too. It's a black tie event,
right? We do a tribute video for the honorees, and there's an induction ceremony. Obviously, that's what the banquet is, and then they come up and receive the award and do an acceptance speech, and it's also doubles as a benefit for the museum.
The host here at noon, Stan Turner, a good friend of ours, was inducted in 2009.
That's
and
correct.
They did, and Jason Davis did a great narration of it, just video, which
yes.
I want to play today.
He was still at the University of Minnesota studying journalism when he got his first job as a radio newsman in 1966. But unlike most other hopefuls, this young guy had everything going for him. Good looks, a beautiful speaking voice, and a deep-seated interest in all things news.
When the tax negotiator...
Especially politics. Within a couple of years, Stan Turner was at KSTP television, well on his way to becoming one of the best-known and most respected reporters in the state.
My dream came true right away because I love government and politics, so I was covering St. Paul city government.
In 1974, Stan Turner became associate news director at KSTP-TV, as well as weekend anchor. By 1976, he'd been promoted to news director, as well as residing over soaring ratings as main anchor for both the 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock news. There was nothing Stan enjoyed more than great adventure stories.
Jerry.
Prairie's Peace of White Bear Lake is on dry land tonight for the first time in 54 days.
We have some broadcast history to make here tonight.
Yes.
We now have Jason live via exclusive satellite from Resolute. That's farther north than any previous live satellite in broadcast history.
In 1989, Stan Turner helped launch Hubbard Broadcasting's all-news channel as anchor, reporter, and writer.
Hello, everyone.
For 13 years, Stan was the face of national news for viewers across the country. Since 2004, Stan has been news director and anchor at Minnesota News Network in St. Paul and hosts a popular Saturday morning news and talk show on WMGT in Stillwater, Minnesota. Stan Turner, 42 years of service to Minnesota Broadcasting and still on the air.
And, of course, WMGT is now KLBB.
That's right.
And this is Flashback Twin Cities. My guest is Danny Henry of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Talk a little about the Hall of Fame, and remind us of the date again this year.
Sure. It's September 29th for the Hall of Fame, and nominations are still open. The deadline is April 1st, so you can nominate.
And the venue is?
You know, the venue is to be determined.
Okay. But we have a date.
But we do have a solid date. And that's what we know at this point.
Does everyone who wins get a British person speaking well about them over piano chord?
Now, this person's not British that you just said.
He's Australian.
Oh,
but
yeah. He would hurt me.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
He will. He's been here before. Talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. So what can people expect when they go to the Hall of Fame? We have the video. It's actually a lot of great food.
And yeah. But there's definitely a good amount of food. We also do have, I think this year we're going to go with like a kind of a lighter snack kind of a route and drinks as well. So there'll be a cocktail hour. And then there's the actual show itself and the induction of the honorees.
And this is a fundraiser too. I mean, this is a fundraiser for the museum.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the museum. And like I mentioned before, we are all privately funded and sponsorships are available.
And let's say someone has an old radio they want to donate. What should they do if they have or some film or a TV? Should they call you first?
Yeah. Give us a call first at the museum, and we can deal with the donation accordingly. But 952-926-8198 is the museum's phone number.
Let's listen to some more audio. This is Franklin Hobbs.
Yes.
And who is Franklin Hobbs?
Franklin Hobbs was on WCCO radio for many, many years. He actually did a little bit of work on the West Coast producing radio shows for Mel Torme and Perry Como, and made his way back to the Twin Cities. And he was on WCCO radio late at night, I think 10:30 to 5, which is an extremely long shift for radio. Typically it's, you know, 2-3 hours, 4 hours, but he was 10:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. easy listening kind of music. Sinatra, similar to what KLBB's doing.
Yeah, 1 hour a week for me is, you know, tough enough.
I can't for an hour
the 10:30 to 5 shift. Let's listen to Franklin Hobbs.
Welcome to Hobbs House. Yeah, I get a little choked up. I said earlier tonight, no, I really don't feel anything, you know, of great traumatic reaction. But now I guess I do, knowing that that's the last time that theme song will be played on WCCO. I doubt that it's a distinction, but Disco Don was the one who punched the button. That's all the effort it takes. But we appreciate your attendance this night. Maybe if we have an opportunity, we'll do a little bit of reminiscing of the years past, and they have been many. They feel like more tonight than ever before. I guess it's looking back that does the job. But to all of the nice people.
And Franklin was at KLBB for 12 years.
That's right, yeah. He did, and also KEEY even before that. But he did end up on KLBB Radio. He retired from CCO, I believe, in 1981. But he was at CCO from 59 to 81, so a good...
22, 23 years.
Yeah, a good amount of time, and his program was an institution.
Very relaxing sound, and that it's perfect for that 10:30 to 5 shift.
I think
when you're
so.
Trying to fall asleep. I mean,
I would agree too.
Not that it puts you to sleep, but it's a very relaxing. It's a mood that you want to be in from 10:30 to 5.
And that was more of an era where local programming was more prevalent back in those days. Now it's national feed a lot of the time for overnight.
There's three big names in CCO Radio that went to KLBB, the original KLBB, and
right.
Those were. Howard Viken.
Howard Viken, right.
Franklin Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And
Joyce
Lamont.
Joyce Lamont, right.
Who's Joyce Lamont?
Joyce Lamont was WCCO for years. Very popular on there. She did a lot of recipes, and she was part of the Banknote Show with Bob DeHaven as well. But at her height of popularity, she received 10,000 letters a month from WCCO listeners. So that'll give you an idea. And as you said, she did... retire from WCCO and then did some work for KLBB.
It's tough to imagine what, at least right now in 2013, what an institution CCO Radio really was. I mean, it was the radio station.
Yep.
Let's listen to a little bit of Joyce Lamont giving a recipe.
So what are you going to talk about today?
Food, namely French fries.
Amsterdam
French.
Talks about custard and you talk about French fries.
French fried potatoes. Hints on how to make them in just a minute.
Yeah,
Miracle White, did you know that it does the work of 9 separate wash day products? That's right. With Miracle White, you need no special rinses or bleaches, bluing, or other additives because Miracle White brightens colored clothes. It keeps white clothes from graying or turning yellow. It softens wash water, removes stain from fabrics, makes all of your wash whiter and cleaner and brighter. Now, Miracle White is not a bleach. It's an all-purpose laundry product. And not only that, but with Miracle White in your wash, you need use only half the usual amount of soap or detergent. So there's one good way to save money. Get Miracle White, the all-purpose laundry product, with a double your money back guarantee. One of our favorite cold weather foods in America is French fried potatoes, and yet many homemakers shy away from preparing them because they think they're too difficult to make. But perhaps some of these hints will help you make perfect French fries every time. The simplest way is to start with the quick frozen kind. Now, the directions may say that you should merely heat them through, but they're best if you do this instead. Heat vegetable oil to 375 degrees. Drop in the potatoes a handful at a time and cook them about 1 minute or until they're crisp and browned. Then drain them on paper towels, sprinkle with coarse salt, and serve immediately. If you prepare your...
All right, guys, we got this written down here. We got our French fried potato later today.
I was on top of that.
Her voice always brings a smile to my face.
You know, it's one of those comforting voices, and
absolutely
one of the things we do in Flashback Twin Cities here is we try to recreate a moment of comfort that it's gone, and we have to live in 2013, but it's really fun. It's really great to kind of flashback and. You know, you listen to Hobbs, you listen to Joyce Lamont, and it's Joyce Lamont was on the air to the 1990s. She was on the air,
yes.
And there's like three generations of people that can identify with Joyce Lamont.
Yeah, she was still doing her recipes on KLBB in the 1990s.
And yeah, I think she recently was contributing to a cookbook a few years ago. Someone had let me know, so she's still doing something.
Yeah, and I should mention that if those voices and those sounds are comforting, we do have more archives at the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. We also have a video display in our actual physical Hall of Fame, so you can come in and watch the videos and listen to the air checks.
That's great. And again, these are KLBB alumni, Howard Viken, Joyce Lamont and Franklin Hobbs.
Yep. So all members of the Hall of Fame, of which we have 157 members now.
So a lot of people tell me they want to go see the Pavic Museum, but they just haven't made time to. I'm encouraging everyone. The weather's going to get nicer here. We get some nice Saturdays. You're open from 10 to 5 on Saturdays.
That's correct. We're open today, 10 to 5.
You know, I really encourage you to come out, take a look at the radios. If you like radio, if you like broadcasting, if you like old TVs, if you need something to do, how much does it cost to go into the museum?
It's 5 for students and 7 for adults.
I mean, you can't buy a Valley meal for that price.
That's right.
It's well worth the price. It goes to a good cause.
Yeah, and I would say figure at least half an hour visit, something like that, depending on your interest. But
4,000 school kids, and to give the experience to the kids that get to go there and get to make their own shows, it's worth the support of our community and also the Hall of Fame too. If you think that if you enjoy some of these voices you've heard, these videos, I encourage you to, after you go to the museum, check out the Hall of Fame, nominate someone on camera, off camera, someone who's donated their time and energy to the community. And, you know, be part of this. It's great.
20 years of broadcast experience and then significant contribution to Minnesota broadcasting. That's what we're looking for. Those are the qualifications for nominating someone for the Hall of Fame, which you can do until April 1st.
Let's look at some of his names. Chick McEwen. Yep. You can see some video of him on tcmedianow.com. Stanley Hubbard and Stanley S. Hubbard, mm-hmm. both Hubbards.
Yep.
Mel Jazz.
Mm-hmm. And more recent ones, we do have Don Shelby. Pat Miles.
Diana Pierce.
Diana Pierce is on there as
Darcy
well.
Darcy Poland.
Yep. And Stan Turner, of course.
Stan Turner. Yep. Great video. Danny Henry, thank you for coming in today. You'll have to come in again and talk to us more about what's going on at the Pavic Museum.
Thank you for having me.
Again, 10 to 5, Pavic Museum, museumofbroadcasting.org. This was Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond. We'll be back next week with Hall of Fame member Roy Finden, former Brown instructor. This is Club 1220, KLBB. We'll be right back.